20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, and sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Today we have a guest speaker, and I'm going to read a short biography of him. Let me trade phones. Sorry, some technical difficulty. Oh, thank you. Thanks. Peter was called to ministry and about 20-something years ago. He served as a youth pastor with Chinese for Christ in San Jose, a number of churches, CCIC, Cupertino as well, and currently a board member of some nonprofit organizations, Chinese Bible Mission, Overflow Ministries. Recently, he's been leading mission trips, mission organizations to Asia, to China, including what is called Becoming What God Intended, BYGI. And now he's the executive director of Chinese Bible Missions. And we're thankful that he's here to speak for us, and I'll leave it up for him.
Hear me? Good morning. All right, I should be on. Yep, good. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, good to see you guys. I'm glad to be here. It's been a few years I've been preaching at your church. I think a few iterations ago, you guys were meeting upstairs, right? That was like many, many years ago. And yeah, really glad to be here. So I live in Taiwan now, and you'll hear a little more about my story. But if you know anything about Taiwan, is that they celebrate Chinese New Year, not like here. Over here, you guys have like a hot pot, maybe that's it, right? But we grew up like in Taiwan for Chinese New Year. You know what we do? We actually pick up firecrackers and light it, and we throw it on top of, like, you know, some of the people from Taiwan know. So he's nodding, like. It's like on top of the high rises, you know, 10-story buildings, and on top of the roof, there'll be rivalry gangs of kids made up of different buildings, and we'll fire up firecrackers and throw at each other. Although we shoot those firecrackers like cannons and shooting at each other. So sad to report to you, Taiwan now is sanitized just like America. So we can't do that anymore. I miss my childhood memories, but I heard that they still do that in southern Taiwan. So when you go to, you know, Taiwan in New Year's time, and you should check it out over there. So I thought it's a Chinese New Year, and you guys probably, you know, how many of you? Somebody said, you know, asked you guys if you guys already broken your, you know, New Year's resolutions, right? So I thought it wouldn't hurt that we talk about this again since we're just going through Chinese New Year. That maybe some of us will kind of revisit our New Year's resolution. Okay? So, this is what we're doing. As you have read, now this morning, Paul really pits two sides, a kind of a wise person living versus an unwise living. And he puts center of attention about the way that you will use your time to demonstrate if you're a wise person or unwise person. That is why we're looking at this topic this morning. Because we want to be wise. We want to live our life wisely. So let's pray as we move forward. Father, we just want to dedicate this time to you. We want to pray that your Holy Spirit move in our hearts as your word flow in us, enable us to grasp not only intellectually, but in our hearts. God, encourage us, inspire us to live out a wise living that is walking in your Holy Spirit. May you watch over us and bless us this morning, Jesus. And we pray. Amen. And if you are just going through New Year's, you probably read a lot of articles, you know, on January 1st, to, you know, the first couple of weeks. They will give you like tips on how to live your life. Time management skills, right? And they come up with fancy terms like goal factoring. What does that mean? It just means that, you know, think of something that you're going to do something, but you know that you're not good at, or that's not really a good time. Don't try to go exercise in the morning if you're not a morning person. Okay? So I'm not a morning person. My family knows that God doesn't exist till 9 o'clock. I mean, when I wake up, you know, I eat my cereal, I'm like, my family knows, they don't touch me, don't talk to me. I mean, I had to read my newspaper for half an hour, and then, oh yeah, computer boot up, you know? That's how it is. So if I want to do my devotional times before like 7:30, and that's what I aspire to, that's not going to happen, friends. Okay? So you know that. So I have other devotional times. Okay? I'm really good, you know, late afternoon. Alright? That's good. Another thing that they tell you about, what? Pre-hindsight. You know, they come up with all these fancy terms for really simple concepts, right? Pre-hindsight is basically if you're going to be surprised by what's going to happen. Let's say, if you turn around and to your spouse and say, honey, you know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 3 weeks, and they start laughing at you, probably that's not going to happen, okay? So come up with something realistic, ideas, things that you can really do, and say, oh, I'm going to lose 5 pounds and whatever, okay? I'm going to eat healthier. Then they come up with terms like structure procrastination, things like, they just say, you know, you're going to procrastinate no matter what, okay? So instead of saying you're going to procrastinate on playing computer games, go, you know, take a walk, okay? This is what I do. I actually practice this quite a bit, is that whenever I'm watching TV, I'm actually doing crunches on my exercise ball, okay? So if you watch a lot of TV, you'll have abs of steel, believe me, okay? All right, so as Paul talks about time management, he brings completely different concepts than the secular ones, okay? He really uses a term about living wisely versus living unwisely. And he points out verse by verse what are the ways that you live wisely, what are the signs that you will live wisely in terms of time management. It really helps you. It will be a person of self-reflection. It will be a person of really redeeming, taking initiative to redeem, to do active things, positive things with your time. It's a person who knows God's will. It's a person that is filled with God's Holy Spirit. It's a person that is desiring, motivated to be engaged in relationship and encouraging other people. It's a person that wants to give thanks. And we're going to reveal, kind of talk about that one by one, because it also contrasts it with a kind of a set of lists that really a person that's not living wisely. So, self-reflection, the number one thing that Paul talks about. So he says, so, as you walk, look carefully how you walk. What is he talking about? Friends, did you know that in ancient time, during Jesus' time, during Paul's time, if you're just living in a village, you spent up to about a quarter of your life walking. Why? You want some water. It's not like you turn on the faucet, right? You gotta walk to the well. You gotta walk to the river. Draw something. Bring it back. Oh, it's not enough. Let's do it again. Okay? You wanna cook something. You don't turn on a stove. You gotta walk to get some wood and come back. You spend a lot of time walking. Does that make sense? It's probably as much time as we drive, some of us, you know, commuting 3 hours to SF and come back, right? Whatever. So, Paul is saying, look carefully in the way how you're living out your very common basic things in life. Do you live a life of self-examination? That is what Paul is talking about. Did you know that there was a survey done a few years back? They asked thousands of older people over 75. And they asked a simple question. It's your nearing end of your life. You have all this life to live. If you had to do it again, what would you do differently with your life? All right? So they come up with, obviously, thousands of answers. And they come up with a very specific one, like, you know, if I had to live my life over again, I would have never married that gold digger. Right? Or I would have left that drunk a long time ago. All right? They have something specific like that, obviously. But then they have three common themes that emerge out of those responses. What are they? The number one theme that comes out of responses of the older people. 80%, about 80%. It says, guess what? I wish I reflected more. I wish I spent more time while my kids are growing up, that I look at the pictures, I enjoyed the time that we could have reflected how fast the life was going. Do you spend time reflecting? Paul knows that. If you want to live wisely, you got to reflect on what God has been doing in your life. That is an opportunity that the Holy Spirit can enter in and interject and stop you from doing something bad and direct you from doing something good. So, reflect more. Reflect more. Look back the past year. You know, I love one of the family traditions that we have in our family home is that when we have New Year's potluck, you know, sometimes New Year's, you know, hot pot dinner, you know, we'll spend some time just say, what happened this last year? And we have everybody just share a little bit what has happened. Some of the highlights. What do we think God's been doing in our lives? We need to not only do that yearly, we need to do that weekly, maybe daily. Because as we meditate, reflect on what God is doing, we're inviting God to be part of what you are doing, what I'm doing. How many of you have those, you know, Christmas cards? That's great, right? It's good to have a snapshot of your friends, what they're doing. They always have happy pictures. Another tradition of mine and my wife is that we will write an annual newsletter, kind of just like a review of what has happened, and we send it to our friends. And this is before I became a missionary. I have to fundraise for support, okay? So it's not like I'm a blog. I mean, I started when I was a college student, and I will send an annual update letter just to my friends and say, this is what happened to me, and it's a structured way of meditating reflection. Friends, do that. Because that is a way that you invite God to be in your life. And Paul says that. Be wise. And watch the way you walk. Second thing that Paul says, if you want to be a wise person, and this is should be the way that you live your life, is that you need to make the best use of your time because the days are evil. Paul says, if you are a wise person, you are going to be a person that is proactively redeeming the time. Redeeming your time. Christians' concept towards time is to look at this word, in this passage, as Paul says, that the days are evil. And people are saying, what are you talking about? Paul, what are you talking about? What are you just talking about? Time itself in substance is evil? What are you talking about? But if you go back into the original language, you will see that the word evil also denotes labor, just busy work. something that is a lot of things that you do that if you examine your life, it's really like, wow, I'm driving 3 hours a day, commuting to work. Ouch. How much of your time in your life really is living, is fully engaged? And Paul is talking about that. Paul is talking about that. We must treat the time to redeem it in a positive fashion, really maximizing it. Maximizing it for what? We need to ask that. And Paul gives us that answer from chapter 1 to chapter 5 prior. Because we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, we've been introduced in the chapter 1, verse 8, that we've been adopted into God's family. Now we're part of God's family. And now we're in this great community that our God the Father wants to put you, place you in the most meaningful places that you can make the greatest impact. That is why Paul is saying, redeem your time, maximize your time so that you can be engaged in those activities that God wants to place you in. That will give you purpose. So, in different translations as you see, NIV says, making the most use of every opportunity. That is great. That's a pretty good translation. Okay? Then you have some other translation, making the most of your time. But I think the best best translation here is really making the most of your time or redeeming the time. Because in some way, NIV says making the most of every opportunity is kind of reactive, right? Like you're sitting there and some opportunity comes to you. No, I think Paul in original language really says that you want to go out and redeem it actively. Seek out opportunity that you will be participating in what God is doing. All right? So, we made a huge life change to go to Taiwan. We'll tell you a little more about why we make that decision. But I just want to tell you, if you want to really be engaging in some of the most exciting opportunities, they are really in Asia. Okay, I live in Taiwan for about 8 months now. Just every week, I will engage and encounter opportunity I just can't fathom. I'm just like, how can this happen? Wow, really? And if we want to walk in what God's doing around the world, I just want to introduce you some of those stories. Did you know that the fastest growing Christian movement are in China? They have about 80 to 100 million Christians right now. They predict that by 2035, they'll have 260 million Christians that will make China the country with most Christians around the world. Did you know that? It doesn't take much for you to be influenced in China. You can go to China in almost all the universities. They're recruiting for English teachers simply because if you're a good native English speaker, you can be of use and usefulness in China. Did you know that? Did you know that starting just a few weeks back, February 1st, that there were a lot of, from last year, November, Chinese government instituted new sets of religious regulation, and people have been speculating what's going to happen. And February 1st is the time that they really started to execute after Chinese New Year, and we found out that they were really serious. Some of my colleagues working in China, they've been denied visa to go back in. Especially, they are really particularly hard on Korean missionaries holding Korean passports, Western missionaries, American passport, especially white faces. Okay, one of my friends who were a professor in a legitimate big school or college, but he was connected teaching in one of the reform seminaries in China, and the police bureau went to his school, let him know about it. His school immediately fired him on the spot. In 3 days, he's out of China. This is a reality that you and I were facing. But this also says that you and I, we have a huge opportunity because I do see a huge opportunity for Chinese American like yourself, for Taiwanese American like yourself, to go into one of the most exciting, growing places that God has put right in front of us. And there is a huge advantage. And what are we going to do about that? Are you redeeming the time God has given you so far in your life? What are you doing that is meaningful? And some of you say, Pastor Peter, I'm not going to be a missionary. I'm seventh grade, right? Pastor Peter, I can't do this. You know, I have a job. But you can do other things. Do you know that one of the best ways that you can engage in the same movement that God is doing is outreach to some of the new Chinese immigrants coming to your school? Maybe work in an international student ministry close by your, you know, house. Volunteer. Invite some of them to your Thanksgiving dinner. Introduce them to Christianity. Just be a good witness. Be a good neighbor. The opportunity is right here. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to participate in those opportunities so that you can redeem the time for Jesus Christ? And of course, if you really want to know what you are supposed to do in your life, one of the really important things that Paul talks about is that you and I, we need to know the will of God. We need to really understand and see a vision for your life and know the will of God. So NRSV says, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. New Living says that don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. So do you know what the Lord wants you to do? Secular time management has a huge assumption. The assumption is that we're going to tell you technique to manage and maximize the way that you use your time. You know, it's something that you can do within 2 minutes, do it, right? And then you prioritize the list, and you know, they have all sorts of ways to help you maximize your time. But the huge assumption here is that you actually know what is important to put on top of your priority list. But do you? What you think is really important, is it really important? Or is it maybe what your parents tell you is important? I need to study hard, and I need to get to the school, I need to do this and do that. I need to get into this internship in the summer, and I can get into this kind of job. I need to get into the position. Then, is that really what God wants you to do? Or is that what just the world tells you to do, or your parents tell you to do? Do you know? Are you just running this life of treadmill? Are you just going through this Silicon Valley thing? We were really doing that. I was a pastor for 20 plus years in the Silicon Valley. It's not easy to make it. Thank God for my wife. She's a family therapist, you know, so she makes good money counseling people. But both of us were really busy teaching in local seminaries, in churches, and just engaging a lot of ministries. But we're just busy. And we had to be busy to keep up with the lifestyle that is here. But we have to think about, is really what God engages to do? All this activity sounds and look good, but is that really what God wants us to do? Do we really know the will of God is? All right. There are really two levels of knowing the will of God, okay, and doing the will of God. There is a basic level which I thought we were also doing, okay, and many of you are doing as well. The basic level is, you know what, Bible teaches a lot of basic morality, Ten Commandments. It's good to just obey that. God's will is to keep you holy. God's will to keep you upright, and living an upright life actually saves your time. You might not think about it, but it's true. Okay? Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not lie, right? Don't lie. You know why? If you lie, you have to lie more to cover your tracks. You're wasting your time, really. Okay? You lie, you have to, you know, spend the emotional energy to kind of fear for the things time that you might be found out. I mean, waste your time. Okay. Divorce? Are you kidding? Really huge time waster, right? You have kids, you know, you have to go pick up your kids. I mean, a lot of time wasters there, okay? Live basic level, straight up life. Saves you a lot of time already. Doing God's will. But then, there's another level, and I know most of you are living that basic level, okay, hopefully. But then there's another level of knowing God's will. Really, it's not about right and wrong, black and white anymore, right? You might have lots of good options in the white. There are a lot of options. You can take this job or that job, right? You can do this or that, you know. You could marry this person or that person. Well, I'm sorry, in Silicon Valley, this is Man Jose, so I know some of you guys have very limited options. But you get my point, okay? So the point being is, you know, you have different options, but how do you know? How do you know that this is really the will of God out of all the good choices? How you do that is that you need to be open to what God wants you to do. You need to be open to the possibility. So when we were asking that question, I was traveling about 100 plus days to Asia, and Anne's back home doing her thing in the Silicon Valley. We live in Cupertino. We start to ask that question. God, what do you want us to do? How would our lives be lived in a way to maximize the opportunity that you've given us, that we can redeem the time for you? And as you know, one of my trips last year in 2017, end of 2016, maybe 18 months back, you know, I visited Taiwan, China, and Hong Kong, all three places consecutively preaching in different conferences. You know, and my wife joined me in one of the conferences, took a vacation. And I just remember, keep on telling my wife, I said, all those places I went, they're all really nice, you know, but Taiwan was really cheap, right? And the pearl milk tea, right? I mean, it was like 99 cents, right? Over here it's like $4.95, right? And in Cupertino, I still see like people go to like this Meat Fresh. You guys go to that? And some of my friends will get some, you know, Sao Xian Cao, right? It's like $8.95. It's like $1.50 in Taiwan, right? You know, everything, it's just super cheap in Taiwan. So I just mentioned to my wife, oh, so cheap in Taiwan. You know, everything's so cheap in Taiwan. And I kind of mentioned to her, like, I have friends who, it's so cheap to rent in Taiwan too. Okay? I mean, for the standard of living, I mean, just for $1,000 US dollars, you can rent a really nice place where, you know, people in Taiwan, really rich people in Taiwan will live. Okay, so the whole point is, I'm so cheap. And I told my wife, you know, I have friends who rent few apartments and turn into bed and breakfast, and they were making money off of it. The first thing my wife told me, don't tell me that I'm going to become a maid and running bed and breakfast, right? It wasn't my intention. I'm just saying it really cheap. Okay. So we just kind of sat on that for a while. Okay. And then, in about 2 weeks after we came back to America, and by the way, I want you to understand, I'm the aggressive, adventurous kind of person that will take all kinds of risks. I have no problem with that. My wife is not, she's a home girl, really, okay? She's really secure, kind of just slow and steady. I mean, if I want to get a new car, I would tell my wife 2 years prior. I would say, honey, you know, our car is like pretty old. It's 140,000 miles on it, you know. It's got a little wear and tear 2 years prior, you know. And then she won't be, you know, scared when I come back home with something new, okay? So just tell you, she's not the kind of person that moves quickly. But in 2 weeks' time, she actually just came back to me and she said, Peter, we should move. I said, really? Are you serious? really, you're ready. And I asked her, how can you be ready for such a drastic decision? And she said, you know, if we're really following God's will, then we just ask God what He wants us to do. And all He asks from me is just make sure, calculate the finances that we will do well, we will do fine over there. And we will. And that's not an issue. Even just on one fundraising salary, it's true. Even just with quarter of what we were making before. Or less. Have you asked God, what shall I do so I can be part of your plan? Friends, you know what I have to say? Most of us, we don't give God that opportunity. We don't. In fact, we box God in. How do we box God in? I have a high school buddy of mine. We still keep up to this day, but during high school time, we're bros joking to each other, and there's one stupid question that he asked me all the time, really, and just to make fun of me. This is what he said: Peter, does your mom know you're stupid? Answer that question. Can you answer that question? You can, right? You can. Why not? Because he boxed you in, right? Yes or no, but friends, don't laugh. We do this to God all the time. God, do you want to take me? You want me to take this job at Google or Facebook? God, do you want me to marry this person or that person? God, do you want me to go to this school or that school? Friends, you already framed the question in a way that doesn't matter which way it goes, that it's the answer that you already wanted. Do you understand? When you're not really opening to what God is doing in your life, you just want a confirmation from higher power that, oh yeah, I'm really following God's will, right? But do you have the courage to say, God, I am going to open up every direction, every possibility of my life right now, today, and you tell me where to go? That will take courage. Are you willing to let go of that pre-assumptions? The little boxes of choices, like you are making up those, you know, pick your own path book for God to choose. Who is really running your life? Friends. And I believe when my wife came back to me, she opened up her book and she said, you know what? Whatever the career I had here, even though it was a great one, whatever that it was doing, even though it was good, it was in God's will to teach in local seminaries, that if I'm open to what God wants to do, He will maximize even our time on earth. And God does. Do you know what my wife does now? I mean, and she just, God opens up opportunities. For her, I'm going to skip this one and come back. I'm sorry. It's going to come back. I mean, and God just opens up opportunities for her. And what she does now is, she was invited providentially over there to encourage, to do a lot of counseling to some missionaries that's been sending out of China. Do you guys know that China already sends out thousands of missionaries? Even though they're very poor, very under trained, and even though the casualty rates are very high. And when I mean casualty, I heard that they have sent out probably about 3,000 missionaries in the last 10 years or so. The casualty rate is about 90% or 95%. From the war story, like, and you have to understand, when the poor Chinese church sends out a missionary, this is how they send out their missionaries. They have a 2-week Bible study training so that you know how to do the spiritual law, tell the gospel to people. After that 2 weeks, they buy you a one-way train ticket or plane ticket to Pakistan, to Egypt, to to some of the most hostile places to gospel. Let me give you $20. God bless you. Go. And they went. Some of them are so lonely, they would jump out of a six-story apartment building. Real story. Most of them, when I say casualty, I mean that they're on the field for 6 to 18 months and they just don't see any effectiveness. Nobody turned to Christianity and it was very difficult. They don't know the language. It was extremely difficult to ask. And usually people, Western missionary in those hard places, they take 5-10 years to see any fruit. And they can't survive anymore. It's so hard. And they just kind of come back to China, disappear into some other cities. They're so ashamed that they were ineffective, disappear. Never found them again. That's what I mean by casualty. So my wife was invited by an organization that's been trying to take care of some of those missionaries that's been on the field for more than 5 years. They have a lot of wounds, a lot of hurt. I don't know how to take care of your family. And she just had really a revelation. Really, she realized this is what God wants her to do right now. And she's starting to be very excited to start organization, rally counsel, other counselors to really visit some of those missionaries on the field, to give them a call, to provide some counseling support. And she realized that she's being led, spirit-led, into opportunities that exactly what God wants her to do. Are you living a life like that? Or you're living like exactly what Paul is talking and warning us not to do. What did he say? He said, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Friends, it might not just be wine. It could be pornography. It could be video games. It could be shopping online. Oh my gosh. I have to say, I didn't realize I was addicted to shopping until Christmas season that I was in Taiwan. I'm like, oh man, a pair of Nikes for my daughter's, you know, sneakers is like $80, right? I'm like, hey, over here it's like $30, right? And I'm shopping online, you know. I'm like, I'm going to come back here anyway. Anyway. You guys got my point, okay? We spent many hours, right, doing stuff like that. And Paul knows, if Paul is living today, he will say the same thing. Don't be drunk on this, don't. What are we spending our time on? Paul knows. Okay? So, open up your life. Be spirit-led instead of being drunk, addicted to things. Okay? Because it's spent a lot of time, waste your time. That's one of the biggest, you know, time waster you'll ever have in your life. Let the Holy Spirit control your life because you're open to what God wants you to do on a big thing. And then, during those positive times, what do? Addressing one another in hymn and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord of your heart. Some of you are musical, you're like, yeah, that's like high school musical. That's why we sing to each other all the time. Woo! No. What Paul is saying here is basically, number one, you just want to addressing one another. How many of us are just loners, just never talk to each other? Paul simply is saying, you know what? One of the best ways to use your time is to make friends, to have a relationship, to engage with one another. And while you do that, don't spend time to ask stupid questions like my high school friends do. But instead, encourage one another. Mutual encouragement. Something positive. Okay, that's what you do. That's what Paul says. When you do that, it's a positive use of your time. Make friendship. Encourage one another. Really help each other. Because when God sees that you are living in harmony with one another, it's music to God. Okay? And did you also know, if you harbor unforgiveness, bitterness to people, if your relationship are not in harmony, guess what? You waste your time, right? Managing those negative emotions. Alright? Paul knows that. So that's why he encourages us to encourage one another. Finally, Paul says, if you want to live as a wise person, you must give thanks to God. Because a person is full of thankfulness, understand, full of gratefulness, really is a person, is a sign of a person who have experienced grace, grace of Jesus Christ. So that's why he says, give thanks, and always, for everything, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Really, always in everything, if we understand that we were helpless in sin, that we, what a privilege that we are adopted by God the Father, just as we said, Ephesians 1:8. That into this awesome kingdom, we're heirs to everything that he has. How can we not be grateful? Even despite of difficult times, even things that might ignore you. I was living with my grandmother for about 10 years before we moved to Taiwan. The last few years, when she started past 89, like 90 years old, she used to, like, sometimes we wash our dishes too slowly, and she'll be trying to wash our dishes. And then she'll wash the dishes and put on a dish rack. Later on, you know, we'll pull one of the rack out and realize, oh, it's not really clean, you know? Because she's old, she can't see anymore, her hand's shaking. And in the beginning, we'll be like, really frustrated, right? But then you have a different perspective, and you say, wow, she's 90 years old, she still can wash dishes and not drop it, you know? Thank God that she didn't drop the dishes, right? And she's still healthy. Friends, you can give thanks if you see the bigger picture, especially the biggest picture of how that you've been really saved by God, and that in fact you're not just for a purpose being saved, that you have a specific purpose that God wants to put you in, that so that he can make you into a person of purpose, so that you can redeem your time meaningfully, so that you can spend your time in the way that God wants to put you in. Friends, there are going to be opportunities this summer. You know, we have a few short-term missions. I sent some of that to your missions board. There's one to Taiwan, a couple to China, for some, you know, for everybody here, basically. Okay? That you are going to be able to engage in some of the things I'm talking about, some of the most explosive growth of Christianity. You will see how people are desperate for peace, for a good news. You're going to see children that they have not seen their parents for a whole year. They only see each other 10 days out of the year because their parents are working in some coastal cities. Migrant workers working on your iPhones. But they cannot take their kids because they don't provide public schools locally there. They call it left behind children. They're desperate for some big brothers, sisters to just show them some kind of attention, love. Friends, do you want to be part of what God's doing around the world? I invite you. It's my prayer that instead of you dictating and saying, I'm going to this Johns Hopkins camp or the Stanford camp, now you will say, God, what do you want me to do this summer? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We just want to say thanks because you have indeed rescued us from the world that we want to please ourselves, from the world that we just want to say we want to be our own gods. But when we submit ourselves and say, God, we want to live as a wise person. We want to live in your will. We want to dedicate everything that we have to you. And we want to say, God, you take us instead of us giving you multiple choices. God, we know that you can do great things. God, may you awaken this congregation that as this new Chinese New Year arrive, that this is a new opportunity that we can dedicate our lives to you. take us, help us, encourage us, give us courage so that we can live a life that is full of Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand as we respond to God through song?